office sometime.
Get my phone out. Time you. Call this meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. If you could all stand and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And for the record, Supervisor Boitano will be absent today. He had some personal business to attend to. Correct, Supervisor?
Correct.
Okay. With that, the board has not met in closed session yet, so we're looking for approval of our agenda, and we do have two consent agenda items. Addendum 1, General Service Administration, approval to dismiss with the formal bid procedures for the purchase of used vehicles from Jeff Holman Auto Center, and 2, General Services Administration. This has to do with the purchase of crop production products.
I'd move approval of the regular agenda and consent agenda with the 2 addendums.
I'll second that.
Moved by Supervisor Plas, second by Supervisor Onetto. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 4-0-1. Public matters not on the agenda. Discussion items only. No action to be taken. Any person may address the board at this time upon any subject within the jurisdiction of the Emeritus County Board of Supervisors. However, any matter that requires action may be referred to staff or committee for a report or recommendation for possible action at a subsequent board meeting. There is a 3-minute time limit per person. Anyone from the public like to address the board? None, Supervisor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This month, a couple of weeks ago, January 10th, up at our veterans building off of Airport Road there. We had a public health for all veterans. We had 71 veterans in attendance again, so it was a good turnout. Everybody was there. We were going to have another one, I believe, in May. I believe it's in May. So I just want to say that thanks to the veterans community and all the veterans that attended, it was good. We did have interview panel formed for our veteran service officer. The interview panel did pick a veteran service officer. I cannot go into details on who that person is right now due to processing that has to take place, but I think the veterans service officer panel did a great job in picking the right person, and I'm looking forward to that person coming on board. Other than that, Mr. Chairman, I don't have it. I have one other thing. CalPERS, as we all know, keeps sending us people with counties and cities actuarials where we have to increase what the county employees contribute to offset what CalPERS has done or to offset what other people in the state or have done in regards to retirement benefits and pay. CalPERS, both Saturday and Sunday, have been in the paper about overtime pay in regards to why they deserve overtime pay. I have many county employees, many staff here, many department heads that work overtime, and yet they do not get overtime pay. I think we as a board should do something about this CalPERS thing. It's getting out of hand. CalPERS board is elected. 7 of them are elected or appointed by the governor. 6 of them are appointed by the members of CalPERS. I would like to bring this to the admin committee because I'm tired of CalPERS increasing their pay and their benefits, and then we on our actuarials have to increase ours to offset what CalPERS is doing. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
All right. We'll schedule that for a future admin committee meeting.
That was pretty well said, Supervisor Novelli.
Any other public comment?
Mr. Chairman, I've just got one comment. I'd like the public that's here to know that we have begun our first four-credit college science class being offered at the Amador County Transportation Commission teleconference center. This is a fully interactive video conferenced science class beamed in, if you will, to this remote site by Folsom Lake College, and local college students or any will be able to, again, further their educations and experience a fully interactive video conference classroom as if you had driven to Folsom but without the drive. So hopefully this is the beginning of many more class offerings to come.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Ed, thank you. Any other public comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to our consent agenda. We'll place item one on the consent agenda as under agreements. Item 4F and item 2 on the consent agenda will place as item 4G. With that, can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion we approve the consent agenda with those two addendum items, 4F and 4G.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Novelli, second by Supervisor Plaz. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 401. And on to our regular agenda. Item 5, gun control. Discussion of possible action relative to the recent gun control debate and potential future legislation regarding firearms laws. Supervisor Novelli indicated that Supervisor Boitano wanted to be here to chime in on this issue, so the board can consider that in their deliberations also. So, Supervisor Onetto, did you put this on?
Yes, I asked to have this put on. And the reason why I did is there's been, you know, some drastic events, terrible shootings, and they are they're horrible. People that had their loved ones that got shot or got injured have my sympathy, and they had this county sympathy, I'd venture. And the last thing you want to do is make legislation when there's a time of crisis, unless you need to address that crisis. And this is something that's, sure it is a crisis, but it also goes to a very important right of the people that we have. And I don't believe it should be, that it should be infringed on under, basically, almost under, without thinking through very well. If you look at our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution were done December 15, 1791. The second one was Amendment Number 2, obviously, and it states, a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And it's Number 2, and it's right after freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and the right of the people to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. I believe this puts Number 2 for a very good reason, a very important reason. I think our forefathers looked at it as being a very critical part of our freedom. And as a tool to keep our freedom. And going on a little bit farther, I was on the internet looking around, and I came across this interesting chart. And it's about, Ottoman Turkey from 1915 to 1917. This information shows there's a million to a million and a half people murdered. Soviet Union, 1929 through 1945, approximately 20 million people murdered. Nazi Germany occupied Europe, 1933 to 1945. 20 million people murdered. China, nationalist, 1927, 1949. 10 million people murdered. Red China, period from, looks like, 49 through 76, roughly 20 to 35 million people murdered. And it goes on. Guatemala, 200,000 people murdered. Uganda, 300,000 people murdered. Cambodia, Khmer Rouge, 2 million people murdered. Rwanda, 1994, that's what, like 17 years ago. We have, actually, excuse me, 19 years ago, 800,000 people murdered. These have a thing in common. If you look at them, it was done by the government. And they had permits for guns required. They had bans on possession some of these places had. Most of them had licensing. They had a lot of restrictions. And their own governments murdered millions of people. And some of these are pretty recent. I think our forefathers were, the more I read on them, the more you look, they're very intelligent, smart people. They've been places that we don't want to go. And I think they put provisions in the Constitution to hopefully stop us from going to those places. So I think our rights to bear firearms is a very important, critical right. And I think there's a lot of legislation being put forth that's some of it's knee-jerk, it's hurried, it's not well thought out, and they're saying, yes, there's been, you know, tens of people killed, murdered in schools, and yes, they were, and it's a dreadful thing. But I don't think the thing to do is to severely infringe on our gun rights or take our guns away. That's not the correct avenue. So I hope that wasn't too long-winded, but I wanted to just give a little background. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor.
I would agree with Brian, and I'd follow up by saying you mentioned the comment about these types of knee-jerk reactions that our legislators, both at the state and federal level, seem to be prone to. And I would say it's one of the great failings of government of late, if not over history, that they have a tendency to make far too many decisions based on an emotional response to an event, whether it be the events of recent or Columbine or those types of things. But we tend to make this emotional response, and a large number of the arguments that support those responses in legislation are of a emotional nature rather than a thoughtful nature, and we tend to react, being driven by emotions rather than thinking the long-term effects of whatever proposed legislation through and making a more thoughtful response, albeit maybe not as timely as the emotional one dictates. So with that said, I agree that this right of our people, of our nation, it's one of the things that makes us unique. It's one of the things that's protected us from tyrannical governments over the years, it's one of the things that protected us from foreign invasion over the years, I think. I believe it was the Emperor of Japan that said that he would never consider invading the U.S.'s shores because of however many million of the population with firearms, whether they be for hunting purposes or self-defense or whatever. So I would concur that I would be willing to take a stand against this. I just would be much more... feel much better about taking whatever stand against this that we may choose to do on the basis of having a letter put before us or having specific legislation that we're calling out. And hard to take this global, I oppose whatever potential future legislation they may dream up. I can't take a stance like that. I need more specifics on it.
Roger.
Yes, I agree with both of the comments that were made by our supervisors. I think there's a lot of unknowns out there for me right now. I would like to hear what different organizations have to say about it. I know I haven't read the 23 so-called executive orders. I know they're in draft form. I think they're out there. But... When those orders come through, I'd like to see them in writing and see what they're going to pertain to. I'm a gun advocate. I was in the military. I was in combat. I just think for me right now to take a stance and say A through Z in regards to something, I just don't have enough information. Some of the organizations that I'd like to hear from is other than the federal administration that we have in this country, I'd like to hear from like our local Sheriff's Association, the State of California, Chief of Police Association, our local judges. I'd like to hear what they have to say in regards to this. So there's many organizations, the United States Marine Corps for sure, I'd like to hear what the Commandant has to say about this, or our Sergeant Major of the Corps. I know they have commented on it, but I haven't seen in actual writing what their comments were. So with that said, I agree with my fellow two board members, but I think it's, and I'd like to hear what Supervisor Boitano would have to say about this too. I'm all for firearms. I believe in them. I think California is doing the right thing on their controls. I do not agree with some of the legislation or the proposed legislation that our vice president and our president are proposing, but I still haven't seen exactly the final draft of those. So with that, that's all, sir. Thank you.
Well, not surprisingly, I was in Sacramento last week and saw one of Senator Feinstein's staff members, and I commented to him that Senator Feinstein has done good work on ag issues. She at least meets with us. But I commented on her legislation on gun control, and not surprisingly, he didn't want to talk about it. So I think we have a long ways to go with Senator Feinstein, and a lot of the people, it's been said, are moving on knee-jerk reactions. You need to concentrate on the mental health issues, and there's a lot of people out there that should not have access to weapons. Well, that should be easy enough to put together, but the problem there is all the HIPAA issues and all the other confidentiality issues we get into make it very difficult for people to restrict those mentally ill people from having weapons. If they want to restrict weapons, they should start in places like Chicago, which has more people killed there than have been killed in Afghanistan. And that's on the record. So if they want to start, that's where they should be starting. And I'm not even sure it's gun control that should be the issue there. It's a tougher stance on gangs and criminal activity. But the president should look right back to his hometown. You can look at examples like Great Britain and Australia, where gun control was put in place, and the people, the crime rate has actually gone up exponentially there because of that. The people have no access to weapons anymore for protection. If they do have a weapon, there's documented cases of people being taken to jail and being put in prison for having a weapon, and it's just a crying shame if you read some of the stories, especially in Australia, of the people that have to deal with that mess they've got there. So I would be in favor of looking at the pieces of legislation as they come out. The problem with this legislature in Sacramento, they have the supermajority now, and where our representatives with RCRC in Sacramento indicated the problem's going to be is not during the regular session. A lot of the more conservative or moderate Democrats are not going to go along with some of these pieces of legislation. But they indicated that our lobbyists indicated at the end of budget session, at the end of regular session, that's where the problems are going to occur because they have that supermajority and they can change the rules basically with the blink of an eye. So it's going to make it very difficult for those things to be tracked, because they can change them so fast, we won't have any notification and no one else will. Be very difficult to deal with. With that, was there any other board comments?
Yeah, I'd like to actually expand on what you said there a little bit, Richard. I agree with you. Your last comment is going to be very hard to track and keep track of. I think that's one reason why I'd like this board to come out with a statement of where we're at. Basically, to give notice Otherwise, we're to be trying to address legislation. We're to always be chasing it. We're to be behind the ball, trying to catch it. I want to be in front, saying, hey, this is where we're at. This is our position. And put it on record. And that way there, we don't have, and we could still address legislation as it comes up. But I'd like to take a stand and say, just say this is where we're at and why.
The problem I see, though, is we can oppose restrictions they're putting on some weapons. What about the ammunition? And what about everything else? It's hard to address that lump sum.
I would agree with you, but I still like to have a basic put a stance forth. This is where we're at. You know, we're supporting the Second Amendment, and you don't have to quantify what, where, when, why, or how, because that's what you do as on specific legislation. But just saying, hey, this is where I believe the people represent. They want to keep their Second Amendment rights. They don't want them infringed. Now, if there's legislation that comes along that seems reasonable and there's a good purpose for it, we may not even have to oppose it. But I just want to take a blanket approach. Blanket support, and that doesn't mean you can't have, you know, that they can't have restrictions on people that have mental illnesses or issues. I think that is that's a big factor. There's people out there like that should not have guns, should not be allowed to, and that's something that should be really looked at.
What you're looking for is more of a general statement that we're opposed to restrictions on the Second Amendment for law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, even more so, a general statement saying that we support the Second Amendment. And we don't have to get into wherefores or what's or how or what type of weapons or whatever, but just that we support the Second Amendment as being necessary to a free and free state, or the freedom and securities of the nation.
You, President Novelli?
Yes. I've been hearing from the administration and everything about the mental health issues. You know, in December of 2012, we lost more veterans, Army, Navy, and Marines, to suicide than we lost in all the wars that we're in right now. And so the government keeps throwing out this mental health issue, and I'm wondering what action the government is taking to help prevent the suicide rate that we have amongst our men and women in the armed forces. They're pushing this mental health thing on this gun thing, but are they pushing anything to help our young men and women that are over there serving our country? So I just want to say that.
Other comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Also, I spoke with Mr. Ken Mazzanti. He had sent me an email, and he just wanted me to I'll make it public that he was in support of the Second Amendment and a citizen's right to own and bear arms. So,
thank you. All right, we'll take public comment at this time. You could state your name and sign in for the record, please. Good morning, Terry.
Terry Nielsen, Pine Grove. Good morning, Chairman, fellow supervisors. I support your desire to have a blanket statement, but there's something else we could probably do locally. Calaveras County has received a FOIA request for a list of all gun owners in that county. The county has said that it's going to be 4 months before they can release this letter, this list of names. Can we do anything to stop that kind of... We don't want to be putting out lists of people on food stamps or people who have gold or people who have guns because you make targets of them. I think the county would be well observed to start protecting its people by making a statement and getting ahead of this. So, thank you very much.
Greg, is there anything we could do to stop a FOIA request like that?
Well, I don't think there's anything we can do for Calaveras.
No, not for Calaveras, but for Amador County.
And I haven't seen a request come, and we would have to look at it. And there are a lot of exceptions to the Public Records Act. I hazard to guess on what our response would be, but
there's a response.
If you get a request, typically you get a request. You have the public agency has 10 days to respond. as to whether or not they have responsive records. The actual production could be later. If it's a big request, you can extend the time. But in general, you have that little window to review and figure out whether you're going to withhold otherwise responsive records under some exception. And there is an exception, even if you can't find a specific exception. There is a sort of a catch-all exception that the county's determination is that the benefit in keeping it private outweighs the benefit of making it public, and it's a balancing test. So that's always there as well, if we actually got a request like that.
This is going on around the country, though. There was a large newspaper publisher on the East Coast that published a whole list of people with concealed weapons permits. So accordingly, then, the other side published all of her personal information. So it's going to be tit for tat. Mr. Wardle, morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to comment in our great government. We continue to have an attack bit by bit on our Constitution.